Hi, hey, Melrosians, the world over. I'm Tom Catalini.
I'm Jen LeClaire.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Mike.
Hey!
Hey. Mike Miner is with us, and there's lots to celebrate. It's a new season. We made it to 2021. We made it to season 3 of Let's Talk Melrose, Melrose. Mike Miner's appearance is long, long overdue. We're happy to have you with us. He's the center of everything on the show, really, but rarely out in the limelight. anyway, we want to get caught up. And Jen, we missed you at the planning meeting. What's been going on?
I know. You know why? So the Martin family has vowed to try to do more things kind of outside, just, you know, try to like tackle 2021. I'm not really like a resolutions kind of person, but this year it really seemed like we spent a lot of 2020 kind of feeling like, oh, you know, this is going to be over soon. And when it's over, we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do this and we'll do that. And I just, this year we're like, no, we're going to do the things now. So the Martins went to Gunstock and tried to learn how to ski, all of us. And we've tried this before, by the way. This is not our first time trying to learn how to ski. So
try to learn to ski.
We did okay.
Does nobody ski and you're all trying to ski? Is that
so? We're sort of a bit back and forth. When Dave and I lived in California, we both took up snowboarding. So I had never skied. So I started learning as a snowboarder, and he took up snowboarding too. And then it's just too hard, and we're getting too old, and you fall down too hard. And so we were like, all right, you know. You don't really see like old people on the mountain snowboarding, but you do see old people skiing. So we were like, we could do that. And Clara also learned how to snowboard and decided she wanted to try skiing. Rosalie has always started on skis, so she's probably the best out of all of us. But we just don't go that often, so it's been a couple of years. So every time we say, okay, we're going to do this, we sort of start back a few pegs, and you know, we go get the beginner lesson and kind of start over again. But we did okay. Everybody's intact. We did all right. We had a great time. So
it's good. That's a win for sure.
It's winning. Yeah, it was that exactly. It's our first win. Yeah, Dugan. old people ski. Yeah. Really, part of my motivation actually too is I told top fan Dugans, we're working on our resumes so that we can apply to become Dugans actually.
I'm subscribing to the extended family Google Calendar.
Yeah.
Is all you need in life.
Tom and Sam, do you ski?
So, the last time I went skiing, I did cartwheels and skis, which is not what you're supposed to be doing, and tore a ligament. So I'm good.
Oh.
I'll see you at the lodge.
I know you can't even do that part though right now. So just a quick update. I know in case anybody hasn't tried it, it felt really safe up there. First of all, you have to be 6 feet apart because there's skis in front of you. So it's pretty hard to get close to anyone when you've got skis on your feet. But we were outside all day. We were in the building long enough to pick up our equipment and then everything else. Like we ate our lunch in our car. You know, we were outside all day. So that was kind of cool. It felt pretty safe and we were out all day. So
that's fun.
Yeah, it was good.
We try to go once a year, and the family said Stephanie's a great skier. The kids learn quickly, and I usually go with the youngest and start on the bunny hill and sort of relearn everything. And it was a few years ago. I'll tell you, Jen, the key for me was my brother, Mark. And we were on a family ski trip in Canada, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And he kind of coached me through. And he was able to, like, watch, assess, and teach me just the very next thing I needed to learn. And I ultimately got the hang of it. So I feel like, you know, whatever, 30 years in, I actually learned the proper way to ski. And it's quite nice. I mean, I don't do all the black diamond crazy stuff, but to properly get your weight and figure out how to get down safely was a lot of fun. So I would encourage you to stick with it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to. When you were telling me about, when you were talking about him teaching you step by step, I went back to visions of you learning how to juggle in an hour. Yeah. But it's just like that. If someone's watching you and giving you your own specific pointers for what you're doing, and I'm with you. I could care less about going fast or going on a black diamond. Like, I could just go back and forth down those, like, you know, easy trails all day. I'm happy as can be.
That pizza pie thing is exhausting after a while.
Right, exactly.
You gotta learn the technique. And then the kids would fall down. Sam, I think when they did what you did, they called it a yard sale because all of your stuff was just spread all over. Yes. What about you, Mr. Miner? Are you a skier?
I am, but it's been a few years, to be honest. But I do love skiing. Not double black diamonds, but an occasional black diamond for sure. But I think I'm sensing a future LTMM ski trip. I think perhaps maybe before the end of the year or even into next year sometime.
Awesome.
Maybe live from the slopes. Who knows?
Well, if MTV has the budget to send their favorite show.
I mean, we might get the helicopter out of the garage even and really drop everyone up on top. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Jen, I heard you were out of town, but you were monitoring Melrose in many ways, including the Buy Nothing group. Did you find any good deals while you were on the slopes? Is that when you, in between sandwiches in the car, you were scrolling?
we were scrolling by them. No, I think I noticed this probably before we went away. But yeah, you said we were winning. I feel like there's a guy on Buy Nothing Melrose, the Southwest chapter, if you will, named Dan Cordella, who, in my opinion, is winning Buy Nothing. So I'm just going to read you a quick snippet. It's all, you know what they say, it's all in the marketing, right? Yeah. So if you want to get rid of something, and actually, too, I've been on a lot recently because I've got stuff I'm trying to get rid of. But you could take some tips from this guy, Dan Cordella. So here he is. This is him trying to sell a Hamilton Beach blender, okay? He says, I once read a slogan for a product that said, life's better when we're connected. And while the writers of that said slogan never pictured us stuck at home with our families for a year straight, they most certainly could have been talking about the indisputable betterness that comes from blending things together. This Hamilton Beach blender wasn't the intended product used under that tagline, but it damn well should have been. What's better than mixing and matching fruit flavors or coffee flavors or pasta and legumes or none of those and some other different and wild combo that has yet to be discovered? It could all be your doing.
Oh,
don't
my
you
God.
Want that blender now?
I want to send this guy an unsolicited friend request.
he's hysterical. He's a creative guy. He works at Digitas and one of the funniest. He's a Lincoln dad, of course. Uh-huh. But yes, he's truly hilarious. I love his stuff.
Well, kudos, Dan Cordella. You're killing it on Buy Nothing. I'm gonna help him get him to help me get rid of my other stuff.
Well, the thing is, if I ever got up to that level of a description, I would be like, you know what? Maybe I should keep this. That's where I get trapped in that hole.
Right.
And then, all right, are we going to get right into the news?
We should, yes.
Could be.
All right.
A lot going on.
There is, we believe, a new city council president. Before the break, they were voting on Chris Sinella in a procedural or mock vote or whatever they call that. And I think they made it official last night. But there was other news, I think, Jen, you had about something on the governor's desk.
Oh, I didn't put that in the news. I just saw an update from Rep. Kate Lipper-Garabedian. I wrote, cheers to they filed a home rule petition, which I didn't know what that meant. I had to look up, and it basically, in a nutshell, if I'm describing it correctly, means you're asking if we can sort of break the rules or do things differently in our own city or town from the state. Like, here's the state law, but we kind of want to do it differently here in Melrose. And this particular home rule petition that's currently on Governor Baker's desk, sponsored by Kate and Senator Lewis, is to basically loosen up the liquor rules that would allow sale of alcoholic beverages for off-premise consumption. So similar to, remember the other, a couple weeks ago, we had the cocktails that you could get for takeout from Tapas. Mm-hmm. Well, this would allow the folks like Beacon Hill and Buckaloo's that have a different kind of license to basically do something similar. That's how I understand it. Oh. Someone's going to have to tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Rebecca's on here saying yes, yay. Yeah, I was in the store and she was hoping for something like this. So
cool.
Sorry, Sam, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they must have watched and acted really fast on some of our wishes for Melrose.
Yeah. So,
hat tip.
Yeah.
I too rate that 100, Rebecca. Well done, Jason and Kate. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, I think it evens the playing field for our restaurants and not liquor stores, but other beverage stores. Yeah, it's win-win. Let's just get through this. Let's just do what's possible. Like, too many rules.
That's right. That's right. That's good. Opening up new territory. And I guess in more sober news, the virus is still running rampant, but the good news is the vaccine is starting to be distributed. There's a little bit of chaos and confusion. I mean, I don't know if we're as bad as some other states or other areas, but Mike, I wanted to ask you, does MMTV play a role in producing the Broder Bulletin, little podcast that the mayor does?
Yeah, it does. We have, as this team knows pretty well, we have a nice podcast set up in the studio right in the front. And we're very happy to see and have the mayor down with us almost on a weekly basis at this point to really, talk about what's going on in the city. And in particular, any pressing information about actually during the entire pandemic, the COVID-19 updates that you've seen from the mayor's office. MMTV's played a role all along the way in getting that word out. And I think, Tom, we were talking about before the show that just today there's a new podcast that I think everyone should take a listen to if you have a few minutes, featuring the mayor and the city health director, Ruth Clay, talking about what will ultimately be the vaccination process and, when it's available and how it's going to work. And because, as I think we all know, the governor announced the other day, too, that first responders are now going to be getting it very shortly, if not already. But how does the process go afterward? And that's something that the mayor is always talking about, and it's out there, and I encourage everyone to take a listen.
Yeah, I maybe we can share the link. I listened to that. This just came out this afternoon. It's about a 20-something minute conversation between the mayor and the health director. And it really, I thought, was pretty interesting and useful to get, real good information from the two of them talking to each other and just getting it real clear and specific. And Ruth had just gotten off a call with like the Department of Public Health at the state level or something like that, wherever she's plugged into. And there's a 6-town consortium, and she's also the health director for Wakefield. And it was just really to get good information. And it was just different than like articles I've read or the mayor's video updates that are a little bit shorter. So this was a little bit longer, but it was kind of worth listening to. If you want to know the vaccination, the plan to me sounds very solid for first responders. And it's admittedly less clear for, what happens after that. But it's really interesting to listen to, the experience 10 years ago in H1N1 doing some distribution and some vaccination, not quite on this scale. And, it sounds like we have a good team and they're definitely knowledgeable and thoughtful. So I've walked away from it feeling like we're in good hands.
Yeah, I think one thing I took away from it too, and as being sort of in a production capacity behind the scenes with Pat and everyone down the studio, is you see these folks working, getting off a call, doing the podcast, getting on another call, and they're really plugged in at the highest level, trying to understand what's the state plan and how does that translate down to the local level and who's doing what. And as we all know, this is an evolving process, so there's things being figured out as they go. And that's just how it is. But I'm really impressed by the effort and the level of detail that we see from everybody. It's a good thing that we have the ability to get that word out.
So maybe that's a segue into, you know, the plans not syncing up, and sometimes at the more granular level, having to figure out what you think is best and take some action. Between shows, there was an emergency meeting of the school committee with one agenda item to move funds from some personnel and substitute lines into a COVID testing line so that the school could pay for and run its own testing program this week for all staff and students who are learning in person. And the superintendent decided to make the school remote for this week to accommodate the testing and to make sure that we've got as many tests done and as many results before everybody returns to, you know, the program as it was. So that was definitely the talk of the town over the last week. Sam, I don't know if you had any insight or thoughts on that from your plugged into Lincoln and your, I don't know if your kids are fully remote or if you participate in any of that.
Yes, and maybe, but I wanted to just say, last week's show may have seemed a little more critical than expected or I intended, but I feel very confident in the folks that we have at the table making decisions. Their values are aligned with mine. I feel very good. I think to juxtapose the school committee meeting to the COVID vaccination podcast you just mentioned, even though there might not be a plan quite yet for the vaccines for residents, they still talked about it. It's there isn't a plan set, but we still knew that it was being discussed and there was a plan that was coming. I think that was a little different from what we had experienced last week before the vote, that we didn't know with enough advance what was going to happen with our what they were planning. So
I watched that meeting and the first hour was public comments totally opposed to this because they're like, why did I hear about this in the news? Why did I hear about this on social media? Then it was actually a productive discussion, but many school committee members totally caught off guard. And I think part of this is, I don't know the nuance of the open meeting law, but I think there's limitations to what you can discuss in advance. I don't think there's anything that prevents what you're talking about, sort of talking about it in general, but I think there are limitations on committee members meeting in a certain way. And I'm no expert on open meeting law, but I think the intent is to protect the public from being kept out of conversation on the group that has power. So I don't know how you thread that needle. And if all these people work full-time jobs,
right,
it's over holiday seasons. We're dealing with a crisis that really shouldn't be in the superintendent's hands, but is. So it's a tricky situation, but I think there's probably, like you're saying, I think larger lessons to be learned about managing communication. A friend posted on Facebook that she sent her kids to private school and they just telegraphed this stuff before Thanksgiving, you know, weeks before they just made the decision and it said, we're going to go an extra week or two or remote or whatever. So it really was a communication point she was making.
Yeah. And I'm okay with pivoting because the world is changing at a minute by minute, but the open meeting law, you can distribute meeting agenda schedules, procedural information. It's, you just can't deliberate. So one of those carefully threading through is, you know, having a advisory council or committee or I love task force. Give me a good task force any day, which are not necessarily beholden to open meeting laws. They can come up with some plans, send it over to city council or to the school committee for public record for everyone to see in advance. I think you shed a lot of public angst and frustration if you get early. You get to them early. So
that makes sense. So that you're not spending, like Tom said, you're spending the beginning of the time of that meeting. The first bit of public comment was a conversation about the communications rather than it took time to get to the issue at hand.
The plans came a little bit, like we had eventually with, you know, here's a plan for coming into school in September. And we're going to review it and come up with another plan. So anyway,
I think it's a great point and more conversation, the better.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention, Mike, the thing you shared about the public debate sort of creating or cultivating public spiritedness. You shared this paper that was pretty interesting, and this was more on the public side of it. And I thought about it in the context of this meeting, because what you had is the general public just weighing in with opinions and sort of freaking out. Mm-hmm. And the document you shared on it, you could probably tell it better than me, but it's like, if you can get the public to actually participate in a legitimate debate of the issues at hand, you will develop a more sense of public spiritedness. It seemed all right. The time in this paper. Maybe you can explain it a little bit better.
Right, right. Well, I think that's a pretty good description, actually. The essence of the argument is that, you know, we're all part of this community, and the more participation you can elicit from people who are part of this community is good. It's a good thing. We all know we live in this community, we're invested in our time and our either homeowners, or we live here, we work here, whatever the case may be, school system. But if you can voice your opinion and engage your neighbors and fellow residents on the issues, and perhaps help make decisions and shape the debate, there's a lot of, to Sam's excellent point, a lot of anxiety actually goes away, and a lot of perhaps, concern or the vagueness and the fog of what's happening sort of dissipates. And it could be on any topic, any issue. So I think it's good when you have people engage, and it's even better when it's proactive and structured, because then you also avoid what one might say is hours upon hours of comments and public comments that are either echoing or repeating or all perhaps valid and good. But how do we structure it in a constructive way versus what at times can be deconstructive? So the idea is, how can you get people to engage that public spirit in a constructive way? And I think that actually Melrose does a much better job than most, but you're always trying to do better and you're always trying to improve. And I think we're starting to see a little more of that.
Yeah. Maybe we could help a little bit on this show among ourselves and with others that we invite on in 2021. Maybe that would help. But I think the debate part was missing. It was just really interesting. And that's probably what prompted you to share that information. But it's really interesting that the legit debate makes a difference. And it also, judging by the reaction, I think Sam wants to sit in the front row of your classroom and bring you an apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Please.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of teaching people to be engaged and kind of the voices of our future.
Oh, can I just interject? I'm so sorry. I know where you're going next. If you are a caregiver of an in-person student or a teacher still in need of getting one of these tests, here is the link.
Ah, perfect.
Sorry, Jen.
No. Thank you. That's a good point to make. Yeah, let's get that done. We're all going to take a minor's class with you. So it's just Dugan. But to avoid having more segments that are like Sports Ball with Jen LeClaire, Mike, you are doing some work in the schools.
Right.
Your students are doing some great work. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, they're not exactly my students per se, but it's really in partnership with the MHS TV program that run by Anthony DiBenedetto, of course, Mr. D, as he's referred to by students and parents alike, who runs the MHS TV program. But what we're really excited about, and this has been something we've been sort of doing for a few years at this point, but it's especially important now with actual high school sports occurring during a pandemic where you can't have many people in gymnasiums. In fact, you have no crowd or audience whatsoever, but what we're doing is actually having the students and the television production team cover live quite a number of sports, both basketball, varsity, junior varsity. We're gonna be doing freshman now, hockey, and really almost gymnastics is gonna have some sports going on too. A lot of it, almost all of it's going to be live or is live. The students are working on it. They're learning together, anywhere from camera work to, switching or choosing what shot goes live at a particular time, to editing, to color commentary, to setting it up, to breaking it down, and learning how to live stream these games across a ton of different platforms. So from YouTube to MMTV Live on cable to our website, you can actually see all of these high school sporting events despite that you can't go in the building.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to the students, quite frankly. I mean, they're doing the work, and thank you.
That's awesome.
Here's a quick here's a quick shot so you can see it, but really full credit to Mr. D, who is an absolutely phenomenal educator, and I cannot emphasize enough how good he is at this. And quite frankly, we've already heard a lot of feedback from folks both at MMTV and online, that if you see the quality of the productions, you know, Anthony's very humble. He would usually tell the students, it's like, if you guys can you're doing as well as the college students are, and that's an amazing level of production quality to do what the big schools can do. But I was watching, as you know, Jen, I'm a bit of a Celtics fan. And I was actually watching the Boston Celtics a few nights ago, and the broadcast quality was okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their best. And I would actually argue the MHS team did a better job with their
Nice. I think we're going to have future Emerson students also.
Certainly.
It's awesome. Give them some air horn. Nice. You know, project-based learning. I mean, this is probably some of the best stuff these kids are getting this year. More of this. This is the kind of stuff we should be doing all year. I should get in touch with Mr. D and see if he wants me to guest lecture on sports commentary. he might want a little.
I'm surprised they haven't reached out already.
I know.
More of those.
You remember when, who was it, when Scott Hamilton was commenting for the Olympics and the figure skating? Anybody remember this? I remember what year it was, and it was riveting because he's just such an accomplished skater. But he is a horrible commentator. So you were like listening to a fan broadcast. He's like, oh my God, that was amazing. And he wasn't explaining anything. Anyway, you look up the tape, it's good stuff.
Well, I have seen some of this stuff in some of the broadcasts. It looks great. I love this. The students are doing a great job. All hands on learning. I love it so much.
But so we're on something that like doesn't go away when things settle out, I guess.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will. And there's been some discussion in the past about robots playing a stronger role in this, and I'm sure they have their role to play in the future. But there's something to be said for students doing the work and learning about how the digital world is and how you can interact with it and broadcast. And there's something to be said for that, I think. And I'm happy to see that Melrose is seeing it. And I'm particularly proud of Mr. D and all the students, too.
And it seems like we're already drumming up interest from other community organizations. So I know Scott posted about the Cub Scouts are trying to run the Pinewood Derby. And that's a really fun in-person event, but it would be the same thing. The kids would want to, could make the cars and build them safely and send them in to be raced. But you need sort of like, how would you create like a live show around that? Mm-hmm. Would be interesting. So I'm sure there's no shortage of opportunities.
I think it'd be phenomenal to do an interesting production of the Pinewood Derby. And Scott, send me an email.
Back in the day, I don't know if MMTV kept this in the archives, but back in the day, I used to do that for the Pack 615, which I think is Scott's same pack. But we would record it and edit it up and then show it later on. But my favorite part was interviewing the racers.
Not to brag too much, Tom, but I actually was once upon a time in Pack 615, and I dominated the races pretty consistently.
Really?
My dad was an engineer, so I had an advantage, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was always the debate. How much can you help the kids? And it's like, not at all. That's the whole point.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, very, very proud. My son won some design awards in the contest, which I thought was nice.
So, you know, Destination Imagination, that's the hallmark of their program too, is that the kids have to do everything themselves. And this year they've had to make the season all virtual. And so one of the kids have to all, they can still work together as a team, but kind of like this. And so they're all going to be solving these challenges this year and having to submit podcasts or videos and things like that. So they're all going to be learning video editing, you know, a lot of the same kind of stuff. So I'll probably be talking to you about that too, Mike. But they have to learn video editing and
fantastic,
all, you know, filming and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, iRaders robotics too.
We've done some work with iRaders in the past, and happy to do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those robots are coming for me, Tom.
I think there's different kinds of learning that are happening this year, and like Sam said, if we can kind of keep that going, when this is over, though, these kind of sort of real world projects are the best.
I don't want to say anything contrary to the robots in case they're listening, but I mean, they think there's a time and a place. It always irks me when there's I'm a technology guy, but it irks me when there's technology looking for a solution and not the other way around. Like I still can't stand, although now it's come back into fashion, the touchless water faucet thing where I have to go like this or to get the paper towel.
I always get the sink that never works.
Like maybe I could just step on something or press a button. Like I'm okay with that. Be in there.
Well, I mean, I like my analogy always, Tom, is that, you know, NASA spent millions of dollars developing a pen that could write in space. What did the Russians do? They used a pencil.
That's right. Wow. I've heard that before. This is our second week straight with the NASA analogies.
Nice.
Right. Oh,
I'm back.
What's happening? Sam. Hey.
I'm back. I'm outside of 99X Street and I'm
calling. Oh, yes. What's going on?
I have something for you. It's belated birthday.
And do I need to come get it right now?
You better go see what that is.
Okay.
I think so. I think you got to go, Tom. All right.
Wow, this is timing. I ran.
I was thinking, Sam, you're going to be all out of breath. This is going to be riveting television.
This is live happening. We don't know what's in the bag.
We do.
Jen, yes, we have. We do. We do know what's in the bag. He does not. We're going to watch for a reaction. We're up at the door.
I hope there's comes. Enough light. I hope we can see it.
Oh, there it is. The handoff has occurred. Mobile hammer is taping.
Reopening this on air
on behalf of all of us.
There it is.
The light is pretty dark. You got to put it under some light. There we go.
It is.
It's Queen Frankie. God.
Royalty.
Oh my God. I thank you. I thank you all. The Catalini family thanks you. Frankie, this is game changing. This is life changing. Oh my God.
Queen Frankie.
I think we're just going to fly over where to hang it. It's going to have to be hung all over the house.
You're going to take the kids' pictures down and hang that.
It'll hang in a place of honor.
So the only
for generations to come.
All right, talk amongst yourselves. I have to go upstairs in order to play the theme song to get us out of the show.
Well, very good. Well, as Tom makes his way up the stairs, I think it's safe to say that this will be an heirloom in his family for generations to come.
I think I can see Tom's family watching the show from inside.
Amazing.
This is riveting, riveting television.
It's live. We're not watching Georgia. Watching right here in Melrose.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
That's gorgeous, Sam. Good job.
Well done.
Oh, my goodness.
You missed it. Yeah, there it is. Tom Shampoo put a picture up. Queen Frankie.
Oh my goodness. This is the greatest day. 2021 is off to a great start.
It is.
I want to hang this in every room of the house. All right.
All right, guys.
What an ending.
There it is.
Season 3. We're killing it. All right, we'll see you around town.
Bye, Queen Frankie.